This is Sam Robson on March 14th, 2017. I'm doing this interview here today in the Redemption Hospital in Monrovia, Liberia. And I'm pleased to have with me Mrs. Mylene Feikai. This is part of our CDC Ebola Response Oral History Project, but Mylene she's a counselor for the Men's Health Screening Program here. And I just look forward to hearing about her own personal experiences with Ebola and her own life. So thank you for being part of this project, Mrs. Feikai.
Okay, thank you very much.
Of course.
I'm so happy to be part of this interview.
Good. Can I ask you to just say my name is and then your full name?
Okay. My name is Mylene Feikai. I run mental health clinician.
Great.
And also counselor for men's health screening program.
Thank you. And if you were to tell someone in just a couple sentences, like two sentences, what that means to be the counselor, what would you say?
To be the counselor for the program? Yeah, I'm there to give support to people, educate them, encourage them, and help them up to make decisions with their parents and not to make decisions for them.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me where and when you were born?
Thank you. I was born in Lima County. My parents' name are Mr. and Mrs. Goncado. Mm-hmm. Mr. and Mrs. Goncado.
Did you grow up in Nimba?
I grew up in Lima and I came in Monrovia 2003.
How did you get involved in health, in counseling, this kind of thing?
When I was coming up, it was my plan, it is what my goal, to be a health worker when I was coming up, because I really have passion to help all of and to encourage them. Mm-hmm. So it was my plan when I was coming up.
Sure.
Yes.
How did you first get involved with that kind of work?
We have work. When I came in town, after I graduated from high school, I was working in vice president office, Joseph Walker. I was there, and at that time, I was just a high school graduate, and he asked whether I want to go to school. And I said, yes, I want to go to school. And he asked me what he want to do. And I explained to him that I want to be a health worker. And he asked me to go and enter any school that I want to attend, and carry the document to him back, and which I did, and I was successful. I started going to school. When I graduated, I applied at Redemption Hospital that I want to work, and my application was accepted. Yes.
Were you going to school for?
I was going to school at Smart Institute, 16th Street.
What year was that?
I started 2007 to 2010. I graduated 2010.
Gotcha. What did you think of the program?
The men's health screening program?
No, your time in the Smart Institute. How did you feel about your time there?
It was not easy, but it was challenging. But so long you have passion to do something, you have to be focused. I was there, and the support was coming from the vice president, Joseph Walker, who sent me to school. And I was there for the reason, I was focused, steady. It was not easy, but some people went and they passed through it, so why not? I was having the same focus that I could go through it and pass, and I studied hard. This is why I made my grade, and I studied well, and I was able to graduate from there.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And can you explain to me again what specific area of health this was?
Professional nursing.
Professional nursing?
Yes, RN, yeah.
Gotcha.
Study biology, yeah.
So what did you do in 2010 after graduating?
After graduating in 2010, and I said I applied at Redemption. Yeah. I worked at Redemption from 2010 to 2011 as a volunteer nurse. I was not in blood, but because I want to serve my nation, I was waiting voluntarily to serve and work. I was here like 1 year. Before I got in pro, yeah, 2011 I went and I started work at mental health clinic in 2012.
Now, how did you get involved in the men's health screening program?
Okay, thank you very much for that question. As I explained, I was working with Ebola unit before, and I deal with the survivors, and I deal with those that were sick, and I already know what they've been through. When I hear about men's health screening program, they're about to have semen testing for them. One doctor, the doctor Moses Soga, he walked to my office and asked me, like, Marlene, I want to know you dealing with people's mind. I want to know your experience. You ever dealing with the survivors? He asked me, I said, yes. I dealing with survivors, even male and female, the children. He said, how many you see a day? I said, yes, sometimes five, sometimes six. They can come with condition and provide counseling for them. He said, like, your work low high? I said, yes, they high, but I enjoy doing the job. When I explained to him, he said, we would like for you to help us to be counselor for our program. And I asked him, he explained everything. And I said, yes, I will be so happy because I always dealing with the survivor and I know how some of them they are feeling, how some of them rejected from their community, how some of them rejected from their family, how some of them going through stress, everything they explain to me nowadays. So if I be counselor for them, it will be a great job. He said, okay, I am so happy and we'll be starting next week for training. So time, he explained everything, I was like happy. I was so happy to work with survivor. When the time reaches, we went for the workshop. Everything after the workshop, we started dealing with them. We started providing counseling for them. Like I said before, that we already know their behavior. If they come, we don't just ask them, we want for you to produce semen. No. When they come for their visit, their first time, we call it baseline. When they come, they have to go through counseling session. You have to explain to them the importance of the program, the purpose of the program. We explain to them because of the last case that came out in March, where survivor had sex with another survivor and she came down with the virus. Unfortunately, she died. Because of this, we want to save Liberia. We want to prevent Liberia from getting a further Ebola outbreak. We explain to them everything and we encourage them that this program is confidential, it's privacy. We're doing it not to carry your information out there, we're doing it to keep your record. The only people will be aware of this is Ministry of Health. Why they will be aware of it? Because they're responsible for our health problem in Liberia. We explain everything. If we explain to them, we give them chance to ask if any further questions. If they have questions, they will ask us. We explain everything. From there, we ask them to willingly make their own decision, whether they want to be part of the program. If they made their decision, yes, I want to be part of the program, they sign consent form before joining the program. And when they sign consent form, we can't just take them to send them for semen collection. We also provide counseling. We provide counseling for them, the importance of using condom, because we ask them if you join the program, you have to abstain from sex or you use condom. We also explain to them, they made their own decision, yeah, I want to use condom. We explain to them the importance of condom, because condom not only because in the program, it also prevents you from getting sexual transmitted diseases. We explain everything. We also prove, if someone would say, I don't want to use it, or my partner don't want to use it, we also encourage them for couple counseling. If they agree, they bring their partner for counseling also. We ask them whether they have any family problem, whether they have any condition that they trust what they want for us to discuss. Some will go as far as explaining their problem, saying they came from the ETU, their family rejected them, and they have to relocate them in another community. Some say, my wife died, I lose seven, when I go sleep, no way. Some with diagnosing her mental health condition and also the epilepsy, some psychosis, and some PTSD. We also refer them to the mental health unit and put some of them on treatment, those that needed treatment. Because in some cases of mental health, it doesn't require treatment. It only requires counseling. It only requires talk therapy. It only requires CBT. Cognitive behavioral therapy, like someone that believe that something negative is right. You have to change the behavior to positive behavior. So we also conduct all that. So we always dealing with them, not because we want to collect semen from them, but we deal with their mind also.
Yeah. It's like as full human beings.
Yes. And we also treat them for medical condition. But for the medical condition, we have a survival clinic. If someone come and explain to her that they going through medical condition, and they explain to us, we refer them, we have a referral letter, we carry them to the PO, the doctor, and they will be able to assess them for that condition. Because we notice that after the Ebola crisis, half of the survivors, then they are coming down with heart problems, some they are coming down with weak erection problems, some they are coming down with different medical conditions. So we make sure and get care to them to be able to live.
Do you remember one person in particular who you counseled before they joined the program, and like what kind of questions, what kind of doubts they had about joining?
Yes, that I counseled one guy when he joined the program. You know very well in your mind that I am free. Why you are free? Because I was in the ETU, they tested me and they said I am free. So I know that I'm free of Ebola, so why would you want to test me? They like challenging. Someone who already believes that they are free from Ebola, you come and ask them that, oh, you are free from Ebola, but I want to do your test. And the person still confused that I am free, I don't want to do it. You know what? Some of them, man, were fully prepared that if you test them and they are test positive, you will admit them again or you will put them in ETU. So when he came, he like, now I don't have Ebola. I don't have Ebola. I don't even want to do the test. Why y'all want to do the test? You're taking the semen from us to go make money. The people doing this. I have to go through explanation, encouraging that when you are in the ETU, although you are right, they did test, but they conducted the test on your blood. They tested your blood, like your blood was free from Ebola. But this test we are about to do is your semen test. We are only dealing with male, because male, female receive from male. So we are dealing with male for now. The test they are going to do, not your blood, but your semen test. And when we do the test, we find out that you are positive or Ebola. We will not go out there to say, oh, jump up, this girl Ebola, to explain it will be confidential. It will be private, except for you. You will want for someone to know about it, to go and explain to them that, oh, this is my status. But for all, you will keep it as a secret. If you incorporate confidentiality, the person will trust you and they will be able to go through it. And he was waiting, he accepted waiting there with his whole mind. He was able to jump in the program. And when he joined in the program, he gave his first specimen. When we tested him, he was positive. So it was like challenging. How we are going to get this result to this guy? Because he already have the man that he free, and now he is positive. So it was a little bit challenging to me, but I used my telling to do that when he came. Before you get the result, you have to do post-counseling before giving the result. I did post-counseling, encouraging, like, oh, your test result is positive. But it don't mean that you are positive, you are going to die, or you are going to get another Ebola. But I will teach you what to do to prevent other people from encountering this. Because who knows? Someone will be out there and you will go have sex with them. Now your wife that in the house, now another person, you don't know how they are immune looking, and you have sex with them, they will be able to come down with the virus. So you have to use your condom. Condom use is important. I explain to him everything there. How I would do for this thing to go away. You all have to give me treatment. You all have to give me medicine. And I encourage him, I say, you have to know that when you are in the ETU, Ebola don't have medicine. The only way they can give you medicine for Ebola when you are presenting with signs and symptoms. But now you are not presenting with signs and symptoms. Although you carry the virus and you are still positive in your semen, but it don't mean that we should give you treatment. But gradually, we'll be testing you until you get your two negative semen results in row and you graduate. I encourage him eat your good food, drink lot of water, enough water, you will be able to go through your process, and one day, you will graduate until you are in a program and you graduated.
Mm-hmm. I love hearing about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Is there, sorry to ask this, is there anyone else who stands out in your mind for any reason who you counseled, maybe who had a problem or a doubt that you were able to work through?
The problem with what?
They had a problem or a doubt or something. What was another common doubt that people had? This man, he thought he was free. Why would he want to participate? What were some of the other common concerns people had about the program?
They had a lot of things to say about the program. People have to say, as I explained from the previous day, they're taking their specimen to go make money out of it. They don't have the virus. Some said that I came from the interview 1 year ago and I've been having sex. If I had Ebola, I've been having sex with condom. Why not my woman got sick? And sometimes we explain to them that maybe at the time you were sick with this Ebola, you had sex with your wife, and when you kill, you had sex with her, and the viral bill resistant. Because some were actually sick and they had sex with their wives. You know that? I have a friend nurse that was sick, and she and the husband were in the house for 3 days before she could notice. And today they quarantined her for 21 days. And no sign and symptoms, she was not sick. So we also let them know that you know very well that some people were even sick with the Ebola, but they built resistant. They never come down with the Ebola, no signs and symptoms. So for that, you will not say that you free because you have sex with your girlfriends, you have sex with your partner, they don't get sick, it means that you are free. The only way we prove to us that you are free from Ebola in your semen is to go through the testing. So long you have that doubt that you have sex with 3-4%, why are not they sick and I want to do your test, this and that, just go ahead and do the testing. If you do the testing, your first result negative, your second result negative, will be able to give you the certificate and you're free. So I encourage him, do it. And he was waiting. He said, same for that, I will do it. And he went ahead and agreed. He produced the first specimen, it was negative, and the second one was negative. You were able to enroll with 2 negative results enroll.
How did people feel when they got 2 negative results in a row?
He's so happy to get 2 negative results enroll because some were afraid, as I said, they believe that when they have Ebola back, they think the flashback that happened to them, oh, if I have Ebola again, what next going to happen to me? So some can be afraid when they produce the specimen, they say, oh God, I pray that my result be negative. When the result comes, you call them to give your result negative. Some say, whoa, thank God, and negative, they can be so happy. Some, if you get them positive result, they feel sad. But we also provide counseling for them, and they're still waiting to produce. We have some participants that produce up to 16 semen. So just imagine, so in case, not counseling, maybe some will be tired. Mm-hmm. For someone to produce semen for up to 16, not easy, but they are so waiting. They're really, really eager to know their status, yes.
So mm-hmm. even when they get multiple positive results after positive results, mm-hmm. I mean, do they get discouraged ever?
Sometimes, some people get discouraged, but due to counseling, they feel released and waiting to continue the program. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some participants, when you came for a titanium specimen to produce it, you say, I'm tired now. I don't know what happened, what it caused. I still can be positive. I say, man, sir, don't know. Don't be discouraged. Keep moving, keep strong. One day you will become negative. And he accepted it. He stayed in the program. Mm-hmm. Keep moving.
Did you ever speak to someone, or did you ever work with someone who did graduate, they got the 2 negative results, but you felt, you know, this person really could use more counseling, you know? Even though they won't be part of this program anymore, it seems like they could use more time to work out their
I have kids. One guy like that. He came in the program and he had two negative in row, but he was having little problem there. He was having PTSD. Like for all, we don't just leave our participants, even when they graduate from our program, we always in touch with them. Yes, because if they graduating to go, we give our numbers. So in case you go, you need any help. The mental problem, the medical condition, like you need someone to really talk to, and you don't have that person. We are always waiting to listen to your cry. We gave our number to them. When they go, we always calling and they always calling up. We always in communication. We just leave our patient to go. Because at that time, I believe he was to go longer time, but he resulting two times negative in row. So he couldn't stay long, but he was having another problem that he need to go to counseling. So I use that to phone follow up calls for us to be able to talk. And today we stay talking. When you have problem, you can call me and say, oh, sis, Marley, yeah, today I'm able to sleep or this and that. You will explain to me. Then I will be like, you have Bible and you love reading, whatsoever. Like when you're doing, you feel fine. Like sometimes if you like listening to music, thing, then do something that will make you to relax and sleep will carry you slowly. I teach him and he can go through and like my son will always in communication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are mental health services like here in Monrovia more generally? Like if someone wanted, would you ever be able to refer someone to another program? I mean, I know you keep in touch with people and everything, but does that even exist? Would it be a possibility to refer someone to an existing mental health program for counseling?
Yes. Like here, we always refer in Redemption because why? We treat people at OPD level. We don't have admission. We treat people at OPD level. Like to say if I conduct screening for you and I notice that you need admission, which means you need attention. That in the case of suicide, someone admitted to me that my wife died, my sister died, I have no hope, I don't even want to have sex. I even want for everything to finish. That person say such thing. I can't just let you go. I have to refer you. We have Grant, Dubrow, Mental Health Area. We have JFK. But usually we use Grant to refer them. If I know that the case need attention and need closer monitoring, I have to refer that person for another treatment because we don't have admission area to admit them. To closely monitor them, and you know the person have danger sign, we also refer them. If we have cases of psychosis, the person very aggressive. They don't have able to monitor them home, taking say threatening their own wives, their own children. You have to separate them for certain time. They wanna go treatment. You calm them down before you put them on OBD treatment. They die. We have ambulance here. We also write a referral letter. We refer them for another service. To tomorrow. But the cases that it just need OPD level, it just need follow up visit, it just need counseling, it just need psychosocial interventions, we go ahead to do it yet. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about what it has felt like for you as a counselor?
Mm-hmm. What?
What it has felt like for you as a counselor. What has the experience of counseling these men been like for you? I mean, I'm sure there have been moments of difficulty, moments where you feel rewarded.
Counseling male, I don't have problem with that because since I've been doing it, I don't have kids that they have problem with me that are female and the male. They have problem with the counseling. Some very happy. They even admitted that they even want to go to counseling with female than male.
Even with the sexually explicit kind
yes,
of thing
Yes,
like
they
this.
Don't have problem with
Interesting.
That.
Interesting. But mm-hmm. but beyond the gender thing, mm-hmm. what is it like for you? What are your feelings like when you talk to people?
I'm feeling like if I talk to people and I see quality care and I see improvement and I see good result, I feel fine. Mm-hmm. Because some that came with depression, I see them moving on with their activities. Some that came with anxiety, some improve. Like that, I feel so happy. I feel so proud of my own job because I see improvement in a job that I do. You get medication, the person on their medication regularly, improving the stage they key in, they graduated from there to another stage. You feel so proud of your own job.
What about, have there been, I'm sure there have been a few individuals who don't seem to make an improvement, at least in their psychological state. How does that make you feel? How do you deal with that?
If I'm dealing with clients that are not improving, we have team. We connect ourselves on the Google group. If you alone doing assessment, nursing work is team work, health work is team work. If I'm dealing with someone and I know that I from 1 month to 2 or 3 months no improvement, I will not wait even to 3 months. If I deal with you and I know that you come for the first time and I place you on medication, I gave you 2 weeks. Even counseling, I gave you 2 weeks to come back to review what I did. When you come back, I see no improvement. You come back again, I see no improvement. I have to go on the Google group that we have. We have place that I call Google group. You can post the case and your fellow clinicians that you work together, you explain the case to them. They will be able to give you idea. They will be able to give you support. Then you will be able to revise your treatment that you're doing.
Do you remember a time when, like, can you give me an example of a time when one of your fellow counselors was able to help you with a patient in the mental health screening program?
Yes, in the mental health screening program. I was having like this client, he came, but he was like afraid. When he came, I counseled him, talked to him, but he was like, when you go in the specimen room, he will be unable to produce. When I talk to him, he go in a specimen room, he will be able to, he unable to produce. When he come back, I will ask him, what happened? Can you please tell me what your problem? And he said, nothing. Like for me, I believe that counseling is teamwork and you have to consult your favorite colleagues. I have to call one male counselor, which is Amakewu. And I said, since I'm doing this and I don't see results from that, I want you to please help me. Let's do opposite sex. You go and counsel him for us to see whether he will be able to produce. He went in, counseled him, talked to him, everything he liked. When he went in to produce, he was unable to produce again. We tried for the second time, he was unable to produce. Then I came here, I called him. I said, I'd send you to him. And before sending to him, I have to consult him. And he accepted that, yes, I'm waiting to go to him. I said, wow, I tried you and you were unable. Another person tried you, you were unable. What the reason? People tell me, don't be afraid. I'm here to help you up. He was like, say, I don't use to the video that in there. Mm-hmm. He said, I want to tell you the truth today. I don't use to the video that in there. It don't even encourage me, no feeling for me to produce. So will you please let me to produce at home? I have to find solution to the problem. So I asked the same male counselors, Amma, to help with the mobile team to be able to go at home to him to collect the specimen. And today, he produced 2 specimens. He testing negative 2,000 when he graduated.
You have a mobile team?
Yes, we have a mobile team. He will come to do interview with you too.
Oh.
Yeah, they call him Amakewu. He's the supervisor for the counselor on the mobile team.
Yeah, I look forward to talking with him too.
Yes.
Can you describe some of your co-workers who you have worked most closely with, what they are like?
Yes, I work with one Mary Jarara. She the counselor. I work with one Amakewu, as I said, the mobile team counselor.
Yeah.
Work with one Enoch Freeman, the data manager.
What is Mary like? When you think of Mary, what do you think of?
When you think about Mary, you think about Jesus.
Why?
She easy, down to earth, we don't have problem. We work together as a team. We do everything that's supposed to be confidential. We love one another. We believe in teamwork because teamwork is goal. If you work together as a team, you get your goal. But if people apart working, they don't share ideas, they are not working together, I don't think you will be to get successful results. So we love working with one another in this office. We support one another. We get care to one another. Even if someone here having some problem and they need assistance from another person, they need counseling, are always waiting to provide that counseling service for them. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about, I know that stigma has been a big issue, right, mm-hmm. of people in the community. Is that something that a lot of people come to you with, who are members of this program? People who tell you about issues they're having with stigma?
Yeah, I have so many people that have stigma that I explained from the previous day when we started. Some people will have living in another community, like example, Nukutan. Some people were living in Nukutan and they have Ebola. After that Ebola crisis, when they survived, they came home. People that in the community even rejected them, not to draw water from their pond, not to even live in their house. They get them noted and they find it difficult to even relocate to find another area. We find people that when they come in the session, they say, for now, I don't even have a place to live. I will live in Nukutan, but when I came, the mandate law said, I still having Ebola, and they put me out and now going call where with my auntie, looking for a place, finding it difficult. Some people, my wife died. People know me in the community with my six different children. If I go around any girl and I say I want you, the girl will be running away. They don't want to come around me. Some say I have my friends who used to play together. We used to watch game together, but this time when I'm going around them, they don't even want to be open to me. Some explain that, but some too really happy. Say when I came, my friend welcomed me good. We playing together. They happy with me. So explain that. But some say it will happen in New Day when after Ebola crisis. For now, people gotten to understand now that they don't have Ebola again, because if they have doubt, they afraid that the people still have Ebola. When they show their certificate to them, some girl hope that, okay, they free from Ebola for two. Then we also encourage them, if you have someone that still believe that you have Ebola, don't isolate yourself from them. Isolation will make them to get believe that, you still say, and you have friend that you used to go to your play football, your do things together, and you see them avoid you. You go to them and educate them. They don't know, they're afraid. Keep going around them. Keep carrying on your daily activities. Don't avoid yourself, because isolation too can cause stigma. We also advise them on that.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. This is in a different direction a little bit, mm-hmm. but could you tell me a little bit about working with CDC, people from CDC?
Working with people from CDC, very encouraging. Mm-hmm. Because even as we're working with them, we work with them happily, always around her. They always giving us new knowledge, like especially Mary Chuck. She there for all that. Some of us, we don't even know about computer. But since she came, she having classes for us every day, teaching us about computer, teaching us about new knowledge, teaching us what to do. And sometimes, even if you work, she there. She will look into your eyes and appreciate you and say, thank you for the good job. That alone can encourage you. And for other CDC people that are coming in the office, they've been coming for 1 month, they go, they come for another month, they go. When you do wrong, they don't tell you, say, you wrong. They don't talk to you harsh. They call you, they advise you. You have to do this. You have to do this. Be serious, do your job. If you make mistake, they have to call you and teach you, say, this one don't have to be like that. Mm-hmm. So I love working with them. Mm-hmm. Their working relationship is very good.
That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you would like to describe about your work with the Men's Health Screening Program or anything else before we finish the interview?
I'm so happy to do the work that I'm doing, and I will continue to do the job, because the job that I'm doing, it will help to prevent Liberia from getting further Ebola outbreak there. And even as we doing it, even if another outbreak there tomorrow in the future, we will know what to do. So I'm happy and happy to continue the job that I'm doing.
Thank you so much for your time, Mylene. It's been a real privilege listening to you. Thank you.
Thank you, too. You are welcome. Thank you.